is case number 78230, the State of Nevada versus Kimberly Nye. Council is ready to proceed. Chris, can I have your sheet there, the attorneys? Okay, we have Mr. Roach representing the appellant, Mr. Lerman representing the respondent. Mr. Roach, did you want to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
You may do so then. Thank you. You may proceed.
Chief Justice, Justices, Counsel, may it please the Court. My name is Daniel Roche, and I have the privilege of representing the respondent, or the appellant, State of Nevada, in this case. The main reason why we're here and why the state has sought this appeal is to ask this Court to reconsider the decision that it made in Rice v. State. Along the same lines that it did in Lloyd v. State, when it recalled or reversed a line of cases dealing with the automobile exception to the warrant requirement under the Fourth Amendment. For the same reasons that this Court in Lloyd drew back those cases to be in line with the Supreme Court's precedents on that issue, we're asking that this Court do the same thing with respect to Rice. I guess the main basis for that has to start with the idea that the state's position is that Rice went beyond what Supreme Court precedent requires under the Fourth Amendment.
Can't this court provide more rights under the Nevada Constitution?
Certainly it has the authority to do so, and no one's disputing that. But what it stated in Lloyd, what this court stated in Lloyd, was that we're only going to do that when it's well-reasoned, when there's a basis for doing so. And Rice was not well-reasoned. The issue in Rice wasn't even briefed by any party, and a dissenting justice even pointed that out. Why are we reaching this issue when no one's had a chance to talk about it? Well, we're here now, and we have a chance to talk about it in the state. But assert that the exigency requirement imposed on a search incident to arrest of a person or their belongings that are in their possession was not well-reasoned and is not required by the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution. The best case for that is to review what the Supreme Court stated in Riley versus California when it was discussing whether or not there was authority to search the digital contents of a cellular phone incident to arrest. And as they were preparing for that discussion, they went through the case law that existed. They went through Chimel, which dealt with a search incident to arrest of a person's entire home. So, well, that's not reasonable. The basis for there being a search incident to arrest is to address concerns of destruction of evidence or danger to the officers. And that isn't served by allowing someone, when they arrest them in their home, to go search their entire home for contraband. In Robinson, the court clarified that point and explained that while those are the considerations that undergird or give reason for a exception to the warrant requirement for a search incident to arrest, once we've resolved that there's a basis for that exception, the exception doesn't need case-by-case adjudication. We make a categorical rule that you can search a person incident to their arrest, and we leave it at that. We don't impose a case-by-case review every time someone's arrested, whether or not there's a possibility they could have reached a weapon or whether or not there's a possibility that they could have destroyed contraband that was in their possession. Those are the bases for that exception, but those aren't requirements that must be present in order to allow that exception. Robinson stated, in that case, Robinson involved a packet of cigarettes that was in a pocket of the person being arrested. The fact that you could take that into custody, I mean, Rice basically says there has to be exigency. Once in the district courts in this case, held that once you reduced an item into police custody or control, there's no longer an exigency that allows you to search that incident to arrest. You should go get a warrant at that point. That's completely contrary to Robinson. And Riley pointed that out. In the Riley decision, in not that many years ago, the Supreme Court said, they talked about Robinson and said, that cigarette pack in Robinson could have been reduced to the police control. There was no risk at that point that he was going to destroy it. He was in custody. It doesn't matter. Those undergirding reasons for an exception to the warrant requirement apply across the board in a categorical way. You can search that and their personal property anytime you arrest someone. That's the rule that the state asserts should exist in Nevada.
But Isn't the overall presumption that you get a warrant except in narrow circumstances?
That is correct. So, there's a presumption of a warrant.
So why, other than, I mean, something in an arrestee's pocket is, isn't that different than a backpack that gets placed in a trunk of a car?
That's certainly the argument that the respondents are going to make, is that that's different. But that's not what Riley held. That's not what Robinson held.
Did either of those cases address a purse or a backpack or something that's not in the person's pocket?
Riley specifically stated with approval other cases that had held that you can search a purse incident to arrest.
Right. So is a backpack a person?
The argument is where is a backpack a person? No, a backpack is not a person. If a backpack is worn on a person, is that on their person or part of their person? Is that their person or the area immediately associated with their person? Yes, if you're wearing a backpack, that's immediately associated with your person.
The policy concerns, though, surrounding officer safety that creates the exception mitigate when the backpack gets detached or other personal property gets detached and goes into police possession or goes somewhere else that's detached from the and away from the defendant?
That's the exact thing that was addressed in Riley and Robinson, which is that we're not going to apply a case-by-case basis and decide when it was separated from a person, that it's no longer searchable incident to arrest. The blanket rule is you can search the person in incident to arrest as long as it's substantially.
So is it your contention, counsel, that if the defendant is arrested in an auto stop, that police can search the trunk of the vehicle?
No. That's flatly been rejected by Gant versus Arizona.
Yeah, right. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is what's the difference between that and a backpack or a piece of luggage that has been separated from the defendant, precluding any officer safety risk? I mean, I get your point that you're not supposed to assess a case-by-case basis in the context of an exception to the search warrant requirement where you're dealing with this principle or this policy for the exception. But in instances in which the personal property of the defendant has been separated, they leave it back in their room. I mean, if the backpack has been left back in the room, can cops go back and...
No, I would say no, because yeah. That's not contemporaneous or incidental to the arrest. If it's in a separate room...
Doesn't there need to be a... I appreciate your use of the word contemporaneous. There has to be some present physical connection between the backpack or the piece of luggage and the defendant, correct?
I believe that that's correct, okay. Your Honor, and we're not advocating for a position different than that. What we're saying is that Rice went beyond that. And said that
well,
the minute...
Well, let's say the court agreed with you on that point. How would you articulate the test then? What is the state's advocation for a test? What is your preferred test?
The state's rule would be that an officer may search any item on a person or within their immediate control at the beginning or during their encounter with police, so long as it is reasonably contemporaneous in time and place to the arrest. That time and place contemporaneousness has been discussed since
sure.
The Kimel case. And as long as that's met, the search is reasonable. But when we start to impose these, what I don't know how to refer other than ticky-tack rules
So let me ask you this. Applying the test for which you advocate, wasn't the search of Nye's backpack still inappropriate?
I don't believe so under the circumstances of this case, Your Honor.
Why not? I'm trying to understand. I like your tests. Just speaking for myself, but I'm not sure that it allows you to prevail under the facts of Nye's backpack test.
Nye's backpack was with her when she was arrested at Stockman's Casino in Elko. Yeah. She was causing a scene for the purpose of ending that interruption of the business of the casino, as well as officer safety. The officers took her and the backpack out to their car, drove to the police station, which was a two-minute drive from the casino.
They separated the backpack from her, right?
Well, how, yes. I mean, physically, but the idea is it was substantially contemporaneous. It was a couple minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything with the backpack other than transport it and her. The alternative is to leave it with her while they're transporting it.
They didn't let her ride with the backpack. They put it in the trunk, didn't they?
Yeah, there's obvious safety reasons of, with allowing her to have the backpack in the
sure.
patrol car.
So what I'm trying to get at, counsel, is if I accept your test, applying it to Nye's case, the public policy reasons behind the exception to the search warrant requirement have been satisfied when they separate the backpack from the defendant, haven't they?
Under those unique circumstances, which would then requires you to look at the circumstances of that particular case rather than a blanket rule that this item was with her when she was arrested and it was searched shortly in time thereafter. And it wasn't taken away. They took them both to the police station while they were booking her. Mm-hmm. The bag was being searched at the same time near her. So
what if it was a 10-minute drive to the police station instead of 2 minutes? Is that still substantially contemporaneous?
That would have to be a separate case for this court to decide. Because you have to draw a line somewhere, and that's completely correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Do you want to reserve the balance of your time?
I would like to, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Lorman.
Thank you, Your Honors. Chief Justice, Justices, Counsel. If it may please the court, my name is David D. Lorman. I represent Marlene Nye in this matter. One of the things that when I look at this case, it looks like what we're trying to do is say, from the state standpoint, they want to seem to simplify a test for the police officer so that he understands it. But yet, in the test that he is going to argue to you, in which he has, actually complicates, I believe, what Rice and Greenwald have already given to us. And the reason for that is, as the justice asked, what time are we going to now determine is contemporaneous with the arrest? In this case, as the facts have meted out, the bag was never in Ms. Nye's possession at any time the police officers were around her. The police officers, and there were four of them, so there was certainly not the issue of even what was in Rice, where we had one officer dealing with the search in that case. Not one of the officers in that case, in this case, searched the backpack at the time of the arrest. It was picked up, it was taken out, with Ms. Nye in cuffs, and both were placed in the car. And in this situation, Ms. Nye had asked for it to be given to a friend. There was some comment in the state's documents that there was no friend around. Well, nothing was ever asked. Nobody asked Ms. Nye, who do you want to give it to? Officer Ortiz just said, no, you're not. We're taking it. And so the backpack was taken. And the backpack was searched at the police department or the sheriff's department during the arrest time. What is problematic is that the contemporaneous with the arrest and what is the purpose of that search incident to arrest. And we have talked about officer safety and destruction of evidence. Well, in this case, certainly there was no officer safety issue at the search of the backpack. My client was in jail. She was being searched at the time.
Mr. Lorman, she was being placed into custody, correct?
She's
booked. Getting booked.
Yes,
she's going into jail.
Going to jail, in the booking.
So don't they have to inventory her property? I mean, wouldn't inevitably it have been discovered? Because you're not going to put a backpack in, nobody opens. To inventory it both for the defendant's safety, so if they don't have money or items missing,
correct.
And for, for just the institutional.
And if there was an inventory justice, mm-hmm. I would say there's an argument there. But in this case...
what law enforcement inventories fruits of a crime? They only inventory personal stuff that they're going to give back to you at jail. They don't give an inventory of fruits of a crime. They're going to impound that.
Correct.
Which is what happened here, right? So how is that not technically an inventory search?
But they didn't inventory the contents of the bag. The bag wasn't empty.
Right.
And
is there evidence of what was in it?
Huh?
Is there evidence of what was in it other than the illegal items seized?
Officer Ortiz went through the bag, and he did not make an inventory. He did not create any inventory, and he says in his testimony that that's not what he was there to do.
But isn't it, Mr. Blorman, is that if there had been an inventory done and had been listed, maybe there's an issue here, but because it wasn't, there's no justification for this as an inventory search and therefore, you know, getting around the other problems, correct?
Well, and I think that's where the district attorney's office, when they went into the motion to suppress, they switched oars and they went from an inventory search over to a search incident to arrest. And because in the preliminary hearing, Officer Ortiz never brought up a search incident to arrest. It was an inventory search. And then it changed at the preliminary hearing to an incident to arrest search. The problem in that is, and in this court's ruling in the State v. Greenwald, it discussed the fact that they were searching a toiletry bag, but they didn't inventory even the items in the toiletry bag. And when they found the item in the toiletry bag.
So even if we assume for just a moment, if we assume for a moment he thought he was doing a search incident to arrest and let's assume it was a bad search incident to arrest, not justified under that. But if we know that even if it wasn't done that way, it would have been, searched and inventoried, don't we have inevitable discovery anyway?
And I think the district court looked at that as well. And in the testimony of the sheriff who did the inventory search, did not follow the Elko County Sheriff policy, as is evident in the fact that when they inventoried the bag, they just put it as bag. They didn't inventory anything within the bag. And then we talk about, well, does that inventory, could it correct what was not done initially? And in this situation, the bag was just listed as a bag, and the sheriff deputy who did this inventory stated that she normally doesn't put things that are inside the bag.
Right.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose of what the inventory is for. The inventory, of course, is to make sure what things are in there. And one of the things that she informed the court, and which was also what Officer Ortiz informed the court, is they were searching for something else. They weren't doing an inventory. They were searching for contraband.
I have a question. So you're saying that they should have gotten a search warrant for this because it wasn't an inventory at jail?
Well,
they're going into a cell, and you're saying that you would need a search warrant for that.
If you were searching for something particular to this crime, maybe you wouldn't need it. But in this case, she was arrested for trespass. She wasn't arrested for something in her bag. There was no issue with something on her person. She had no weapons. She was searched in the jail for that purpose. In the bag, there was the only thing that was the search should have been for, or anything at that point, was an honest inventory.
Well, Mr. Lorman, isn't your argument that the inventory search here, if in fact that's what it failed to meet the requirements of Weintraub. And as a result, you can't use that inevitable discovery rule.
Yes, Your Honor. The frustrating thing about this case for me was it seemed that what we have is we have a very, I think, very clear line, easy one for law enforcement to understand based on Rice, based on Greenwald, that have gone forward, and they have been there for years. And now the state, because of this case and possibly the next case, they want this court to overrule that long line. One of the things that I had raised in my response, my answer, was the fact that we have a case here where Rice and Greenwald, the cases cited by the state, all predate, or for many of them, predated Rice and Greenwald, basically asking us to assume that this court did not contemplate or review those cases. I find that very hard to believe, that those things were actually part of that discussion within dealing with the decisions in Greenwald as well as Rice. And in this situation, Ms. Nye certainly has, one of the other issues that, and this is something that I raised to this court, if you have a situation where it would be certainly easy to seek a warrant, if you feel that there's a necessity to search this for some other crime, then seek a warrant. They didn't do that. It wasn't going to go anywhere. She was in jail. And there was certainly no officer safety issue, nor was there any destruction of evidence issue relevant at that point in time. And they sought to do none of that.
Do you agree they can do an inventory search under these circumstances?
It concerns me. I believe they can do an inventory search at the jail. I believe they have to follow the policy. They have to do an actual inventory. They shouldn't be just, oh, we can search this and not put anything down. My concern, Your Honors, is we erode our protections, and that it's going to end up that we won't have any left if we continue to say, well, whatever you search is fine, because that's where this is going from their argument, and that the time period will shorten up. If it doesn't take 3 minutes to get to the jail, if it doesn't take 10 minutes to get to the jail, we start drawing a circumference.
But you agree, though, that we can uphold Rice and Correct. Say you can't do these things. But we still can also uphold that an inventory search is proper. And we can't say people who are going to house items can't inventory them. I mean, those are not mutually
true.
Inconsistent.
I agree with you on that, Your Honor. But under Greenwald and related cases, you have to do an inventory. You just can't say, I'm inventory searching it, and then everything makes it better. You have to have something that says, "There, here's the inventory."
Well, isn't a bulk inventory okay?
I believe under Greenwald, Your Honor, that it wouldn't be.
What about Weintraub? Was that
well? And I think in this situation, as far as a bulk, would you say that the glass case was not contraband? Of course, the glass case was not contraband. Maybe something within the glass case was contraband, but the glass case itself wasn't contraband. But the glass case was not inventoried. That was in the backpack. It was in the backpack, but yet the only time you ever heard about the glass case is from Officer Ortiz when he said, that's what I got. I got the glass case, and I opened it up, and here's the stuff in it. And quite frankly, if he was doing an inventory and he found the pipe, maybe that would give him probable cause to seek a warrant to search the rest of the backpack. But he didn't do that.
Okay, any more questions for Mr. Lerman? Ms. Lerman, thank you very much for your argument.
Thank you, Justice.
Okay, Mr. Roche, you have about a little over 4 minutes. Sir.
Mr. Roche, did Judge Kaysen misapply Rice?
I don't believe so. I think that under Rice, there had to be exigent. I mean, it's possible you could find exigent circumstances. She was causing a scene at a casino, and he had to do something. And it's not safe for an officer in a crowded casino to search through her backpack while she's acting the way she was acting. And so there might be some circumstances that you could say justify what happened. But Rice is problematic, I think. The problem is that officers, and this might be more clear in the next case that we argue, are a little confused.
Rice is 22 years old. So where's this confusion coming from? 22 years, and now today we have two Rice cases.
The confusion is coming from U.S. Supreme Court precedent that most law enforcement are trained on. They're not. I don't think they're trained on Rice when they go to the Post Academy or familiar with Rice. It's never been cited by this court for anything related to the holding that we're arguing about today. Mm-hmm. And so to say the officers all should have been aware of that, I think is unfair to them.
What has the U.S. Supreme Court said that would say the backpack can be searched as part of a search incident to arrest?
It has said since Robinson, I can't remember the year that Robinson was decided. I think it was the 1970s, that you can search a person and the area immediately associated with that person, incident to an arrest. That's what it says. And it didn't impose any requirements that you have to show exigent circumstances to search a backpack once you take it into custody and put it in your own custody, because that's contrary to Robinson. The cigarette pack in Robinson was taken by the officer in his own custody. Nothing could have happened with that. There were no exigent circumstances. And Robinson has been cited favorably three times recently, not just in Riley, but recently there was the case about whether you can do a breath or a blood test incident to arrest. And in that case, they cited Robinson favorably. And Birchfield, I think it was called. The other thing that Riley did that hasn't been discussed very much is that it's not just the concerns of the chimal factors that allow you to search incident to arrest. It's also the reduced privacy interest you have once you're being placed under arrest. Riley acknowledged that there's a reduction that you're going to be protected in your privacy once you're placed under arrest. In 2012, the Supreme Court of the United States said that unilaterally, when you're arrested, you can be subject to a strip search at the jail. So every single time someone's arrested, they're going to go to a jail and be subjected to a very invasive search. The relative invasion of their privacy that's conducted by opening their backpack or looking in their purse is not even comparable to being strip searched at the jail, but that's something that's been upheld across the board without qualification as a categorical rule that officers are allowed to do.
The categorical rule is as to the person, right? The person.
That's correct.
And then as to the area in the immediate vicinity, that's where you get into the factors, the Chimal case and the justifications, right?
Well, there's a lot of courts that have tried to limit that, what you consider the person. They'll say that the purse isn't part of your person.
Right.
Those are, you can find arguments either way. They've been cited in the briefs from the states of Missouri, Washington, the 10th Circuit just a few months ago in the Knapp decision.
Right.
Courts have gone both ways on this issue about what's the scope of your person.
Right. I mean, the fact that a backpack can be separated from your person, as it was in this case, doesn't that indicate it's not part of your person?
Your clothes can be separated from your person, but you're not going to have a court say that you can't search your pockets incident to arrest because it's not your person. It depends on normally what happens. If you're carrying a shoulder bag over your shoulder, you're not going to say, well, that's not part of my person. You can come just take that away. That's not larceny from the person because it's not my clothes. That's a crime. You can't grab
it. It's in your immediate possession or control.
Yeah, if you have immediate possession or control, that's
right. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roche. We'll give you another crack in just a minute on this issue. Thank you, Mr. Lerman, for your briefs and oral arguments. We'll take this case under submission. And Mr. Roche.